One is the amount of times that her case went up and back between the Merit Systems Protection Board and the Court of Appeals that oversees it. I think I counted, I think it was up there at least two times at the Court of Appeals and back down. It was at the MSPB something like three or four times, right, and up at the Court of Appeals at least two times, if not three. And that is unusual in a case. For most federal employees, you're at the Court of Appeals once, and that's where you lose. And the Court of Appeals rules in favor of the agency action about 92% of the time. Mm. So she did okay up there at the Court of Appeals, Teresa Chambers, because they did find that one little hook that she was able to hold on to. They found that some of the conversations and that she had both with the press and the Hill were protected activity, and that's what allowed her to have that whistleblower defense. What's also unusual is to win. You know, that's just simply, it's unusual. At MSPB, the statistic ranges depending upon the composition of the board, but they sustain the agency action. In her case, it was removal. They sustain it about 80 to 90% of the time. So there's some unusualness there that she got her job back and that it did take so long.
And 7 years, I mean, one has to, I mean, A, somebody's been
in
that
job.
Well,
you're exaggerating. It was 6.5 years.
I'm sorry, the 6 months, that's right. but for that long a period of time, I mean, it's not like everyone puts their life on hold. Certainly the organization, the Park Service didn't put their, they had to move on.
Yeah, and that's what happened. She moved on. Obviously, most people in America today need to be employed. They need an income,
right,
and she did. She moved on, but she made it very clear. You know, I'd been asked by other news sources, including your radio station, do you think she's going to come back? This is before there was the announcement, and I
right.
said, I absolutely do. I represent federal employees for a living, and it was very clear the amount of energy and time and commitment that she put into the case that she wanted her job back. I mean, she made that very clear in the amount of litigation that went on. So I thought for sure that she would want her job back. And, of course, for the department, you know, they have to move on. I mean, it was a very critical job. They had to fill it. And I imagine that the persons that they filled it with over time were aware that most people in law enforcement in the federal system are very aware of the Teresa Chambers case. So it would be unusual that the person who they picked while the case was in appeal to fill the chief of police position would not know that Teresa Chambers was in litigation over it.
So does one and I don't know the specifics on her, but does one get back pay for that 7 years because they essentially they've said, yeah, you were wrong. So do you almost go back and try and unring the bell and she gets back pay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they unring the bell. There's an offset. She has to report in the calculations for calculating her back pay, she has to report other employment income. So there's an offset to what other income she earned on in her non, you know, she wasn't in her federal position.
Right.
So whatever income she earned, there's an offset. But they'll go through the calculations, and she will get her back pay for the 6.5 years that she was out, you know, that she was not in the position.
So are there lessons that can be learned from all this trial and tribulation and, you know, 6.5 years of this back and forth? Or is there something that any other government agencies can learn from this?
Well, you know, she hung in there for 6.5 years. She was up at the Court of Appeals twice on the legal issues of whether the activity that she was engaged in was legally protected by law. And the law is very difficult for even lawyers in this field to understand. You know, when I go and talk to the press or I go report something to the IG, am I a protected whistleblower? Does that mean that anything that they do to me because I made this disclosure would be per se illegal? And the law on that is very cumbersome. And I think the Teresa Chambers case made it more cumbersome. So, you know, when you look at lessons learned, part of it is these are unfortunate lessons, which is how many employees have the resources to litigate, you know, six different layers of appeal. But she hung in there and she was able to do it, and she was able to prove that it was, you know, reprisal for whistleblowing activity. From the agency's perspective, you have to realize that the administration that terminated her is a different administration.
Right.
So it's not clear to me that this particular administration feels they have a lesson to be learned because they didn't take the action.
Right. And at some point, I mean, the thing that she was talking about really is she spoke out and, you know, people took it into account, but it's not like it made or break. I mean, it seems to me anyway, being on the outside, this is kind of the discussion that we actually want to have.
Well, when you read the decision, the final board decision, which I think is very well written because it really simplifies 6.5 years of litigation and 6 separate decisions, 4 from the board or 3 from the board and 2 from the Court of Appeals on these very legalistic concepts of what she said to whom and whether or not it fit within the confines of what the statute defines as protected activity. Very difficult, you know, for most employees to read that and figure out, you know, if I say this, am I going to be protected by law? But when in the end you look at what the Court of Appeals said was protected, it was those few things about the dangers on 2 federal highways that surround the district. And as somebody who's been a resident of the Metro D.C. Yeah. area for over 20 years, I actually thought it was interesting to know that, you know, what she had to say to the Post about the ability to actually arrest drunk drivers on the GW Parkway. I mean, it is a democracy. People kind of want to know that they don't have enough units out there, you know, patrolling the GW Parkway at the time. That was back 6.5 years ago or 7 years ago with the budget cuts, that they didn't have the resources to actually make an arrest. So certainly the press wants to know those things, and I imagine that the citizens driving up and down the parkway did. And you have to wonder, you know, it's a new administration, it's a different administration, and you have to imagine that they'll figure out a way. She felt it was important that the public knew, and she relayed that information to the Post. And you can imagine that there'll be some conversation upon her return to duty where there's a consensus. You imagine the administration would want to work with her for consensus on how to get that information out. Because this is an administration that sort of prides themselves on openness.
Yeah, but a whole new realm of budget cuts ahead. So
right.
See what they're able to do or not do now.
Right.
Excellent.
I think, and as I think all your listeners know, she has been returned or is returning to duty.